Okay, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Heather, I'm good. This is Maria. How are you?
Good.
Good. Well, it's good to have an opportunity to talk with you. How's your day going there?
We're right in the middle of a sandstorm right now, so it's kind of dusty.
Oh, my. So how do you handle that even with different equipment?
Sandstorms? Well, right now I'm staying inside.
Okay, there we go. That'll do it. I wanted to tell you, Heather, would you pronounce your last name for me, please?
Knuth.
Knuth, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm with Exceptional Parent Magazine. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the publication.
I wasn't until I heard about it, and then I went online and looked it up.
Okay, wonderful. So you know a little bit about us?
A little bit.
Okay. For the interview that we'll be doing, because I think really, as different people talk with you, there are a number of different angles to take. Because Exceptional Parent is a magazine for people with disabilities and special needs, and for their families and health care providers, our angle will be how you're doing with your deployment with your twin daughters who have autism, and kind of some of the road that you've traveled and some resources you found that have been helpful, and what the unique challenges are for you since you're actually deployed and trying to care for them.
Well, right now they're with my mom in Athens, Georgia, and she's taking care of them. They're not getting a lot of the care that they need right now because they're just going to be in Athens until I'm back, and then they'll come back to where I'm stationed, and we'll pick up where we left off.
Oh, so that has to be challenging for you, given that if you were home, my guess is there would be different things that you would be doing related to their diagnosis.
Yes.
Now, TQ is also mentioned. She's also the only female health care provider on TQ. Is that the camp in Iraq? Is that
It's one of them. There's another female provider now. She just got here a few days ago, but I was the only one out here for several months.
Okay. And so is TQ an abbreviation for the camp in Iraq?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Al Takaydem.
Takaydem.
Yeah. TAQADDUM.
TAQADDUM.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Let me just go back to when. How old are your twins right now?
They turned 5 on February 28th.
That had to be challenging for you.
It was, because this is the first birthday that they actually understood that it's a birthday and that they're turning different ages, and they were very excited.
I bet they were. Did you get to talk with them, Jennifer?
I did. I called them first thing that morning and sang happy birthday to both of them, and they were so excited because they were going to Chuck E. Cheese later that afternoon.
Aw. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
What? I know.
Now, were they both diagnosed around the same time? Maybe if you could just take me back, kind of go back to when you first thought there might be something, and then the process you went through for diagnosis.
Well, I'll take you all the way back to when I was pregnant. My girls are identical twins, and they shared a placenta. And I don't know, have you ever heard of twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome?
No, and give me just a second here. I actually had hoped to record us if you had said okay, but my recorder turns out to not be working. So let me.
Oh, okay. Well, I can start over.
That's okay. Just to let you know, I might ask occasionally just to pause for a moment. Twin-to-twin syndrome?
Transfusion syndrome. Transfusion syndrome.
Okay.
That's the, look that up. There's a lot of information online about that. But basically, it's where one twin is getting all the nutrients and the other one's not.
Okay.
Because they're sharing a lot of the same bloodlines and stuff.
Okay.
Anyhow, there's when I had it, there was a brand new surgery going on, and I went down to Tampa. I don't remember the doctor's name, though, but it's on a lot of the twin websites. But he did a special laser surgery that basically separated their blood supplies and their nutrient supplies.
Yeah.
So that's when I started worrying about that there might be a problem with them, because there's not a lot of research done on twins after they've had been diagnosed with the twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome. So at first, when they were developing pretty slowly, and I kept reading about how twins take their time developing and they'll get there, but they didn't start walking until about 19 months. And so I didn't really think anything of it then, but when they hit the 2.5-year mark, I started seeing some things that just didn't look right.
What did you see, Jennifer?
But children with autism have to stay on a regular routine, and if you go out of that routine any little bit, the whole day is kind of screwed up, and it just messes them up. So I was noticing that if we got up at 7 and went to breakfast and then went to school and I went to work, everything was fine. But if anything changed in that, if I had to be at work a little bit earlier or something, it just threw off the whole day. Or if we went somewhere that we didn't usually go, it would throw everything off. So I have to do everything the same way each time. And then with autistic children, I don't know how much you know about them, but they do a lot of, hand flapping.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about, yes.
Okay. They do that when they get real excited or when they get upset. They'll flap their hands. And the older twin, Rowan, she just will not be in a crowd. She can't do it. She freaks out, and it's difficult sometimes when we have to go to the grocery store, but she can't do crowds very well.
Wow. Now, would you spell her name for me, please?
Rowan.
Okay. And her sister?
Raina, Rayna.
Jennifer, something that strikes me about this with both twins having the autism is, and you're kind of describing some of the things that you've seen, do you notice, do they feed off of one another? If one is excited, the other becomes excited, or no?
That really depends on the situation. They're absolutely individuals, and at the same time, they're twins. So it just all depends on the situation, but they act like twins. Sometimes they'll plan things together, and one's a little bit more outgoing sometimes, one's not. They switch their little personalities on me all the time. I never know what to expect from them. But they're exactly opposites, too. They're mirror twins. So one has a part on her hair, on the left side, and the other one has it on the right, and one has a dimple on the left side, and the other has it on the right. And when their teeth came in, the bottom teeth came in, the front right one came in first, and the other twin, her tooth came in the same time, but it was a left one. So everything's opposite.
And do you have other children?
No.
was that a regretful no?
I don't know if I would want to do this again. I'd be scared I'd have another set of twins.
and tell me what you think are the unique challenges. I mean, obviously, having twins is challenging. Having a child with autism is challenging. To have twins with autism would be unique.
Yes, and I'm a single parent, so that makes it even more fun.
Yeah, it sure does. And what's interesting to me is you sound like you have a really great sense of humor, which I'm going to guess is something that serves you well.
Yes, it does. I have so much fun with them. Like I was saying before, as long as I stick to the schedule, stick to a routine, we're fine. Everything runs smoothly. It's, those days that we decide to go somewhere else instead of going straight home that we get a little bit messed up.
Yeah. Jennifer, with the actual official diagnosis, how old were they when that diagnosis was made?
I want to say 3, I think. And it had been 3 because... Yeah, 3. They were 3.
And
3 or 4. I'm not.
Do you get to begin any therapies at that time?
Yes, I was lucky that people were willing to help me. They both got physical therapy and occupational therapy and speech therapy.
Wonderful.
But we had to cut some of it short because I had to deploy and I didn't have enough time to find them with my mom. So what we did was we had the occupational therapist and speech therapist and the physical therapist give them exercises to work on until we can pick that up when I come back.
And what did your mom say about how that's going?
She says they're doing great. They're in a pre-K class now, and the teacher says that there's some things that they do better than all the children, and there's some things they're a little bit behind on.
Wow. I'm just going to jot a note here.
Hey.
What types of things did they give for them to do at home while you're gone?
Just like different exercises, like they're still trying to learn how to cut paper in a straight line or stack blocks in raw certain shapes.
When the pre-K teacher says they're behind other students in some things, what types of things are they, or excuse me, ahead of other students, what types of things are they ahead in?
Like, you can sing a song to them one time and they'll know it and sing it to you over and over again.
Oh.
Or you could tell them something and they can repeat it back to you.
Wow.
They're behind in the sense that if you tell them something, like, for example, if I say the whole ABCs, they'll know it, but if you ask them to repeat it back to you, they won't do that until they think you're not paying attention.
Oh, really?
But they know it. Yeah.
Wow. So you could be in the midst of something else, and then all of a sudden you'll hear that.
Yeah. You won't even realize. You'll just be, like, doing the dishes or something, and one of them will be, for example, saying her ABCs, and about midway through it, you'll stop and realize, that, wait a minute, we just went over that an hour ago, and how does she know that already?
Oh, wow, that's something else.
Yeah.
As far as the different therapies, were you able to get those through TRICARE, or how were those arranged?
Where I'm stationed at camp in Jacksonville, North Carolina, I'm at New River there, and Camp Lejeune doesn't have military facilities for that, so TRICARE was able to set up. We went through a civilian practice.
Oh, so TRICARE helped arrange that?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. Good. And was that pretty straightforward for you, Jennifer? Because we hear different stories. Sometimes people say, you know, things worked out pretty well. Other times people say, gosh, certain things were a challenge. Was that fairly smooth?
It went really smooth, and they were the people that we worked with were really good about helping me keep to a specific schedule, so I didn't mess up the girls anyway. They always knew on a certain day they were going to see the doctor.
Wow, that's great. So it sounds like overall, as you have gone through this process, it's gone as well as you might hope for something, you know, for a diagnosis and for therapy?
Yeah, it's gone really well.
That's
I couldn't have asked for anything better.
One moment here.
Okay.
It's interesting because you used a phrase in the information that was given up front. I guess there's a information form. You said that you are overcoming autism, which was an interesting phrase. Can you say a little bit more about that?
With the overcoming, I don't, let me see how I want to say this. I'm just trying to teach them to be able to live in the world that we have today where they're not going to be picked on and judged. And, you know, I'm reading and going online and stuff to find ways to help them become better with their disability so that they can somewhat normal. They're pretty normal, I think, though, for me.
And you know what's fascinating? I love they're five, and I love that you are that's what you're thinking of. You're thinking not just for their current lives, but into the future. How can they live a life so that they fit, and any chances of them being, as you said, picked on or judged or minimized?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I just want them to go through life with the, you know, as normal of a childhood as they can have and as normal of a life as they can have. And, you know, I don't want to see anything bad happen with them because they're such sweet little girls and they just love to meet new people as long as it's not too many at one time.
Aw, that's really good. Now, for you, tell me very specifically, as a single mother, and have you been single the whole time with the girls?
Yes.
Just tell me about that, if you would, because, now we throw that third factor in that makes it...
Well, their father and I, we were together for a little while, but he was his job kept him away, so most of the pregnancy I was on my own, or my mom and my sister would come help out because I was on bed rest and stuff. So I had friends and family that were able to help out, and then it just didn't work out with him. So he just didn't really want a lot to do with them.
Hmm.
And so it's been us, and I like it like that.
Do you? You know.
Yeah, I do.
I want to ask you, you know, we hear different stories from people who have children with autism or other types of disabilities. And obviously stories change from person to person, and sometimes we hear things that are fairly similar. You described having a concern after the laser surgery. I'm wondering whether with the diagnosis or a concern about what might be going on, you know, some people say things were devastating. And I'm wondering if that was your experience, if your experience was different than that, given the course that it took. What was that like?
I wouldn't say that it was devastating. You know, I found out I was having twins, so that was obviously a shock. And then found out that they had the twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, so that was a shock. But everything happened so fast that I didn't really have time to be devastated. It was just more of... miracles, actually.
All I can say is awe.
It is, because they didn't expect Raina to make it through the laser surgery. They gave her like a 60% chance to live through that, and then to be able to have two healthy babies weighing over 5 pounds.
Wow.
And I almost made it to term. So that was a miracle that she made it, and then it was a miracle that, you know, they both made it through the delivery. So, and they've just been such a joy.
It is making me smile.
They're just so much fun. Everybody's, I've never really, I can't think of anybody that's ever not liked them.
Oh.
Of course, they have fire engine red hair, too, so.
Do you have red hair?
I do not.
Okay.
It runs in the family.
Oh. Now, what was interesting to me was you said with that surgery that you just had a concern. So nobody had said anything to you about, gee, with the surgery there could be this or that, because you said there's not been much research on surgery and any possible effects of it. So it was just kind of an instinct of yours that there could potentially be something?
Yeah, I mean, well, when we had the surgery, it was still brand new, so they were still doing a lot of research and stuff, and so it was just my concern that one of them might, you know, be severely brain damaged, or, you know, something might go wrong, and maybe there's going to be some physical problems. So there's always that, you know, every mother worries about stuff like that. Something could go wrong during delivery.